When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Metal Mike, and in this episode, I have the honor of talking with the amazing Tim Ripper Owens. We talk in depth about the upcoming KK's Priest album, Sermons of the Sinner. We also revisit the classic albums from his time at Judas Priest, Jugulator and Demolition. And we hear a little bit about Yngwie and Iced Earth 2. It's a great one. Check it out.
Well, Tim, welcome to the 80s Glam Metal Cast, brother. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. KK's Priest, Sermons of the Sinner, coming out in July. Everybody's excited. What can you give us, man?
I think people got just right out of the gate with Hellfire Thunderbolt. I think they got the taste of it, you know, what's kind of in store for you. You know, I mean, the album really has a little bit of everything. It's got the aggression, you know, you hear with Hellfire, even beyond that with a couple of the tracks right out of the gate, it has that. But it also has the classic metal feel. It has the classic KK feel going on with it as well, you know. So it's got the sing-alongs, the great live song, the epic song, got a little bit of everything, you know. So the next one out of the gate with Sermons of the Sinner, it's a very falsetto-y, high-pitched song, a lot of that stuff going on. And then, you know, then the rest of the album mixes it up very well.
Yeah, definitely. So what we've heard so far is the Hellfire Thunderbolt, and I think that song kicks major ass. And it definitely has that old-school Priest sound, no doubt.
Well, it does. I mean, you know, it's funny, you know, because there's obviously people who complain about everything, which is, you know, I guess that's how the cookie crumbles nowadays. But I think, you know, it's one of the dumbest things that I hear people who get mad at it say that. Like, wow, I kind of sound like Judas. Well, K.K. Downing wrote Judas Priest songs for since the 70s. You know, since, you know, 1970, he's been writing Judas Priest songs and only Judas Priest songs since then. So I think you could maybe also say that it sounds like K.K. Downing, because that's how he writes. And I think it's a fantastic thing that he didn't try to go off and invent some kind of new, you know, invent the wheel again. You know, that's the sound that KK has. You know, he's written Judas Priest songs, and it's fantastic. I think you're right. It's got that classic sound, and it's no need to go away from that.
Now, with this album, in your opinion, does it harken back to like a certain album? So like say, if you love Painkiller or Screaming for Vengeance, you're going to love this. I mean, there's certain albums that you can relate this one to, or like you said, or does it pull from a lot of different albums?
I think it pulls from a lot of different ones. I mean, because the thing is, it definitely doesn't sound like one record, or like Ken just went to make this sound like that. I think he just wrote songs, you know, and while he's writing songs, I hear pieces and little guitar parts that kind of remind me of going back to even Rockarola, you know. Some of the guitar tones and some of these little leads when it's a mellow part, and the ending of The Return of the Sentinel, it just reminds me of going back there. So to me, I think it's got a little bit of everything. It's just, I can really tell that KK wasn't forcing something, that he was just writing music. He sat down and wrote songs, and he didn't have to please anybody to write a certain style. He just had to please himself to write stuff, and I think that's what's so cool about it. I think it really sounds like not one individual record at all.
What's it been like working with him again? Is it kind of like just like old times?
Well, it is, you know, and the great thing about it is, you know, we stayed in touch. And I've stayed in touch with all the guys, and even if I've seen Rob out, which we don't hardly ever, but if we've run across each other at an event, we always would speak. But Ken and I stayed probably the closest, because I would tour Europe, and I would do a lot of three or four UK runs solo, and every time I played there, KK came out to the show. You know, whether it was 2 hours away, he would drive up with actually, it's funny, because he'd drive up with some of his friends and maybe his girlfriend at the time, and AJ would always come, who's our guitar player. So I've even known AJ for years now. But so we've stayed close and talked about it. You know, I remember the last show he came to, I had a fantastic set list, and Irish band backs me up. Sandstone when I played there, and they're my backing band, and they are just so great. So anyways, I said to Ken before we went on stage, man, I think next time I tour, I want to do the Live in London show, like for my solo tour. And he goes, man, Ken, that's a hard set to play. Well, then he watched us play the set, and we opened up with Jugulator. We played Cathedral Spires, Dead Meat, Death Row, Bullet Train, Bloodstained, Burning Hell, Machine Man, One-on-One, Hell is Home. I mean, this Lost and Found, Painkiller, Scream Machine, this set was so hard, and we got done. KK was like, yeah, I don't think you're going to have any problem doing the Live in London. Because it was so brutal. But he would just come out, he would always bring a couple cases of beer for the band and us, and, you know, so we've always kind of, you know, saw each other and spoke. So, but we always got along really well, and so, you know, it was kind of a really cool when he's, you know, mentioned this. It was like, yeah, this is a great idea.
It kind of seems in the press that, like, KK's relationship with the rest of the guys in Priest is slightly strained. I mean, that's the way I'm taking it. What does that do for your relationship with the guys? Does it have any effect, you working with him, or what are your thoughts on that?
No. I mean, listen, it is what it is. Here's the thing about bands. Judas Priest was together in a band for a long time, Glenn, KK, and Rob. It's like a family, right? So how many families 30 years down the road still, you know, it's everything's tough, you know? I mean, listen, I don't burn bridges. I'm friends with everybody. I'm friends with all of them, and that's how it is. They have their issues. They deal with it. I saw it when I was in the band. I mean, it's not something that just started, mm-hmm. you know, out of the blue. It's always been there a long time. But they're all great people, and I just hopefully, you know, they can always, hopefully someday they'll mend fences and do what they have to do. And
sure.
But listen, I'm fortunate because I have, you know, being able to do KK's Priest and having it be such a strong record, it's pretty awesome. So, you know, I'll sit here and do it as long as I can.
Yeah. What about shows? You guys got any shows coming up toward the end of the year?
Well, we hope so. I hope so. I mean, you know, this being such a hard thing to get this record done and have COVID happen right when we get done putting vocals and drums down, and that pretty much stopped it. You know, we mm-hmm. planned on touring that summer. We had festivals lined up. The album would have came out. It was going to be fantastic. You know, I mean, then you have people asking for next year, how come the record's not out? Well, a record label's not going to put money into an album that the band can't even take a photo together. You know, we can't even get together. I'm in America. They're in England. Our drummer's in America. We can't get together. So now it looks like it's all opened up. So the thing is, we have to plan it right. The label wants to plan it right. Ken wants to plan it right. We have to get on some good tours. We have to do it right where we're not coming out and just doing shows to do shows and do small shows. We have to do big shows, big tours, and that's the way we look at this.
Is there an album you gravitate toward in your time with Priest, like Jugulator or Demolition? You like one better than the other?
Well, I like them both a lot. I really enjoy, I think I'd probably lean towards Demolition.
Okay. Well, that surprises me. Okay.
Because I like Hell is Home. One-on-One's probably one of my favorite songs. Machine Man, Lost and Found, you know, in between. Again, I absolutely love Jugulator, but a little bit more melody. And the funniest thing is, I think I have a tougher time sometimes singing the songs off Demolition than I do Jugulator. But I love them both, but I think I probably lean towards, as a whole record, more favorite songs, you know, because obviously you have your Cathedral Spires and Bloodstained and Burning Hell. They are top of the line. Even the song Jugulator is so great, but I just feel some of these other ones off of as a whole record. I think I'd probably go with Demolition. I'd probably rotate back and forth, but Demolition probably is better for me.
When you think of the melodies, one song that I really like the melodies on that one is Feed on Me. I love the melodies of the verses and the chorus. Super catchy song.
Absolutely. It has a little Dio sound on that one, the verses. Yeah. I mean, there's so many songs, you know, all off of both records, but I just listen to that. I mean, singing One-on-One live is awesome. I love it. Hell is Home. Listen, I do first when I tour solo at any show. For what, there's certain songs that are always in my set list, no matter what, whether it's a set list that I have to play some classic Priest and a lot of other stuff. I always put One-on-One, Hell is Home, and Burning Hell. Those are three songs that are always in the set list.
It's got to make you feel good, though, like how much people love Jugulator and Demolition. I mean, people are still talking about those albums, how much they love those albums. So for you, for being part of those albums, it's got to make you feel good.
Well, I think they talk about it because they can't find them.
Well, wait a minute. One of them's on Spotify. Demolition's on Spotify, I think, but not Jugulator.
Yeah, that was on, I think it's because it was on Atlantic in America. So it's probably, I think Jugulator was on CMC. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen about music. I don't know the reason why they've kind of erased those songs from their history, because as somebody who makes money, I don't understand why you would. They would sell those records. I wouldn't make money from them selling those records, so I don't complain about it because I'm losing all the money. I'm not going to make any money from the sales of those records. But could you imagine releasing those records on vinyl right now, or releasing the CDs out there, or putting it on iTunes, both records? I don't get why they, I mean, they would make money because people want it. No, it's not going to go top of the charts, but I would want it out there. I mean, they don't like it. Okay, you want to erase it. But I mean, a guy that owns a chocolate factory who's fat and decides to get skinny doesn't stop selling those $1 million chocolate bars. You know what I mean? He's going to still sell chocolate to make money. So I don't get why, just because they don't like my history of Judas Priest, why would you erase it? But that makes people talk about the records. I think it makes the records even more popular.
I think so.
People talk about them a lot more because they can't get them.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
DDR Music Group is the premier glam, sleaze, and hair metal label. They've got a kick-ass roster consisting of tons of bands that you remember from the 80s Sunset Strip. Bands like Electric Angels, Blondes, Sweet Savage, Cats in Boots, Jailhouse, Jet Boy, and many more. Well, maybe you're just looking for something that you've never heard before, some rare or modern hair metal. Well, they've got that too. Go discover rare and hard-to-find glam, sleaze, and hair metal CDs at ddrmusicgroup.com. Hey guys, this podcast takes a lot of time and effort. I want to do more in-depth projects on here, but I can't do it without your help. Just Google 80s Glam Metalcast on Anchor. Once there, hit the support button and you can donate 99 cents, $4.99 or $9.99 a month. Your support will ensure that this podcast will be rocking.
Another amazing album that you're on that I really love, this one, is Iced Earth's Glorious Burden. I mean, that's just such a phenomenal metal album, man. And it's actually like a history lesson, I feel like, because it just goes over all these timepieces in history, and just a killer metal album.
Yeah, it does. Listen, I learned more off of history, and contrary to popular belief, it's not taking one side of history. So just to let people know that, because all of a sudden they go, oh my God, John Camper must be, no, it's a history lesson. I learned more about history than I ever learned in school, and it was absolutely awesome. And I actually liked Framing Armageddon better. The album, I liked Framing Armageddon better, but both records were fantastic with Iced Earth. And yeah, that was. I have teachers that tell me that they've used the Gettysburg piece in their class to teach the class.
Isn't that crazy? Wow. I don't want to get political about the whole John Schaefer thing, but all I'm going to say is this, man. Like, I've liked Iced Earth for a very long time, and, you know, a lot of times people just, the average person doesn't know who they are. You know, they never heard of Iced Earth. So I just will never forget, I'm sitting in my chair watching the TV news. It's like national news, and John Schaefer's on the friggin' national news, man. I thought I was like on the in the Twilight Zone. It's like, how is the guy from Iced Earth, you know, part of this riot thing? I don't know. It's just mind blowing, to be honest with you. Very mind blowing.
It was mind blowing to me too. And people would ask me and lump me in with that. I'm like, listen, John Schaefer kicked me out of the band 15 years ago in a horrible way, and politically we weren't even similar. So we never even talked politics. So, but because I was an Iced Earth, I got lumped into the whole John Schaefer thing. And they'd say, "What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, right.
You're just like him." Like, I haven't seen him in 15, or I haven't, you know, he kicked me out of the band a week before Christmas 15 years ago. I don't know. I made some great records. So there you go.
Definitely. Another guy that I loved that you worked with was Yngwie. I mean, what are your thoughts about him? And if you ever picked up the phone and said, Tim, would you sing on my new album? Would you ever work with Yngwie again?
Oh, I would absolutely. You know what? I didn't burn bridges. You know, it's funny because I quit Yngwie which I never even announced it. You know, I get fired from Iced Earth and Judas Priest, and when I finally quit a band, I don't announce it. I'm like, it's not worth it. I don't care. I don't have to be that guy that does it that way. But anyways, I didn't quit because of any reason. I quit of Yngwie. I quit because I was touring solo a lot, and it just was interfering with Yngwie's schedule. So I had Wendy Dio reach out and tell him, listen, Tim's going to quit because, you know, I wanted him a chance to not cancel shows and get another singer and do stuff, you know, because I was busy. But I had a good time doing Yngwie. To me, it was challenging stuff singing he had great singers, so it was pretty challenging, a lot of these songs. But I would definitely go in the studio again with Yngwie, not a question about it. I'll tell you what, I had a blast. I mean, he was the easiest guy I ever worked with in the studio.
Really?
That's what's funny. I mean, I would do a take, and then I would say, all right, let me do it. Oh, he'd go, no, that's perfect. Don't do it again. You start doing them over and over again, and you lose it. Sometimes the first take's the best. I'm like, okay, right? You know, I mean, I'm used to doing things over and over and over and over again. He's like, no, that's good. So, you know, we had a good time. I had a good time with Yngwie. We played a little tennis at his house. And so, I mean, I know he gets a bad rap and probably deservedly so on a lot of stuff, but I had no ill feelings. I had a good time. And again, I didn't burn any bridges. I left. And I've not really, I mean, I know he's attacked me and all of his other singers in the press, but,
yeah.
You know, I don't have to attack him. I don't need to do that with him. So he's, we had a good time, you know, had a good time. He was funny. He would tell jokes all the time and, you know, it was pretty cool. Listen, I go from Judas Priest to Iced Earth, you know, and Yngwie, you know, Iced Earth fires me, Yngwie calls me, and I think to myself, totally different stuff than me, but he's a guitar player that changed the face of guitar playing.
Yep.
I mean, one of the best guitar players ever and changed the face of guitar playing. There's no brainer that I'm going to sing with this guy, and it was a blast.
So if somebody would have told you back in the 80s, they said, hey, Tim, you know, someday you're going to be in Priest, you're going to jam with Yngwie, would you tell them that they were full of shit, or would you be shocked if your 80s self saw this stuff?
I think of this all the time, and I think of all the bands I grew up loving and then becoming friends with, and from Metal Church to Sabotage, and then obviously becoming good friends with Ronnie Dio and hanging out with him and you know, having Wendy Dio become my manager, and you know, along with the, you know, being, going to the Grammys, being nominated, but just becoming with the Maiden guys and becoming good friends with Nico. And yeah, I just look at it, I think, geez, I used to watch these guys, and it's always funny because it's even just whether it's somebody that I would say something to someone like, man, I'm hanging out with Biff Bifford, and they're like, who's that? I'm like, oh my God, it's Saxon. Remember when I went to the Saxon concert? And, you know, I would every time I meet these people, I'm like, man, even I don't care if it's Raven or, you know, when I used to hang out with the guys from Heaven, these are bands that I grew up with when I was young, so I'm like, this is kick-ass.
Now, I know you're a big Sabotage fan. I know you did Spirits of Fire with Chris Caffrey, so I've been dying to ask you, this is the question I've really been dying to ask you, what is your best Sabotage album or your favorite Sabotage album?
You know, man, I'd have to go with Hall of the Mountain King,
yeah.
But just because it's always the go-to. But I mean, I switch back and forth. I mean, I go to the gym and I'll just put them on and listen to them because I love them. I mean, they're so Better Ballet. And
yeah.
There's so many, you know, so many of them that are so great. I mean, I actually like them all. So that's the problem. I kind of dig them all. You know, and it's, you know, it's funny. My favorite's probably Hall of the Mountain King, but the irony is it's probably the one I listen to the least because I know what it is already, right?
Yeah,
so I always
yeah.
go with the other one. It's funny, the last couple of days I've been at the gym on a Sabbath or a Metal Church kick, and those first two records are so good. So good. I mean, I can't, they used to be my favorite band, and I stopped talking about them as much or listening to them, you know, as you do. And
yeah.
I'm telling you, and I knew almost every lyric from, I was listening to The Dark. Today it was Metal Church. Yesterday it was The Dark at the gym. And, God, I mean, the lyrics and the songs, I remember every part of every song. And I can't believe it because The Dark, I haven't listened to that record in a long time. And it was just like I had it on the other day. It brought me right back to the 80s. I mean, first of all, I was shocked it was released in like 86, The Dark was. And I can't believe, I'm telling you, you want to put on a refreshing record that sounds so good, put on those records.
I'm going to have to go back and check those out. But, for me, you nailed it on the head with some of my favorites. I think Hall of the Mountain King, Gutter Ballet. I'm really into Edge of Thorns, too. I probably can't pick between those three. But I've always been huge into Sabotage, and I've talked to all those guys on my podcast here. So, like I said, I'm obsessed. And hopefully, I know the world knows TSO, but I hope more people gravitate and find Sabotage.
Yeah, I think Sabotage, hopefully we'll start doing some more stuff. Again, you know, I mean, I know it's hard when TSO takes over. It's hard to branch off and do Sabotage because you now have TSO.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a hard thing. But yeah, that John Oliva, one of the most underrated musicians out there. I mean, the guy is such an amazing songwriter, such an amazing player, instruments, piano, keyboards, guitar, all that.
Yep.
Amazing voice. He's just amazing, man.
Yeah, he is awesome. Well, man, this has been awesome talking with you. I've been wanting to talk with you for a very long time. Anything you want to say to your fans out there in closing?
Well, just check out the KK's Priest pages. You know, pre-order the KK's Priest. Sermons of the Center, it's out there. You know, anything, check out my, Instagram and Facebook. And you can always find all those on timriprones.com. You know, I have a merch page. You can go there. But check out any KK's Priest information is going to be on my pages as well. So all of my social media pages, pretty much you just type in Tim Rip Rowan and you'll find me. But check out KK's Priest pages, pre-order, and get it ready. Spread the word.
Yeah, man, I will. I can't wait to hear it. But hey, man, really appreciate the time and the conversation about metal.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
Take care, brother.
Well, that was awesome talking with Tim. And make sure you pre-order the new KK's Priest album. Now, you may have noticed we're inching toward episode 100, but there's a lot of cool stuff coming before that. Become a supporter through Anchor and become a subscriber on YouTube so you don't miss any of it. Rock on!